My brand new book, Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth, is now available. So much more than a book, this is a guide that allows me to hold your hand through your birth preparation journey. With over a decade of experience and knowledge packed in to ensure you really are empowered in the way you deserve to achieve a positive birth, regardless of the twists and turns that crop up. Make sure that you get your hands on Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth book now and are empowered to have the birth experience that you deserve. Hello, I'm Pip and welcome to the Midwife Pip podcast, the home of expert information and real chats on all things pregnancy, birth and beyond. Remember, as a podcast listener, you can get 15% off my online courses at midwifepip.com using the code PODCAST15. Any parent of a toddler will know well that they are small people with the biggest of feelings. And when the dreaded toddler tantrums hit, it can be tough to navigate your way through. Dr. Catherine is joining me today. She is a general and consulting pediatrician with more than 33 years of experience, the author of two parenting books, the mother of four amazing adult children, the creator of The Healthiest Baby on Instagram, and the host of the Toddlers Made Easy podcast. Now, Catherine, thank you for coming on to join me. As I just mentioned to you, me and my husband absolutely love your Instagram page. It is full of awesome wisdom. So I'm really excited to get to pick your brains on the podcast today.
Thank you. And thank you for inviting me.
Very excited to talk to you. So first of all, let's jump straight in. Toddler behavior. What age does this typically creep in?
Typically, it can creep in as early as 18 months. So children at that age, although people typically think of the terrible twos, typically it is a little bit earlier where you start to get some oppositional behavior. And that means kids saying no or doing the opposite of what you ask them and just sort of stomping the foot down.
Inserting their little independence. It's all good fun,
yes,
isn't it?
Exactly.
All good fun. Why do toddlers have these tantrums, Catherine? And are they normal or is it something that we're doing wrong as parents?
I think it's very important to reframe tantrums. Just even saying, is it something we're doing wrong? You know, this is a very common sentiment, but tantrums are completely normal and they're healthy and they're natural. When you think of it, toddlers, they don't have the speech. They don't have the words to tell you they're upset. And they don't have impulse control. So the only way for these difficult feelings to come out is through something like a tantrum. And rather than feeling like, am I doing something wrong or these are a problem, it's really important to just see them as natural and healthy. Now, that doesn't mean we can't influence how a tantrum sort of evolves, but you are not, parents are by no means the reason why children have a tantrum.
That's really nice to hear, isn't it? Because we've all been in the supermarket when our little one starts having a bit of a meltdown and you feel like everybody's eyes are on you in that moment and judging you and you just want to like curl into a corner and hide. So it's a really, really tough one.
It's like the paparazzi. Yeah.
It feels that way, doesn't it? It feels that way. And you hope that other parents are like, oh, you know, I get it. I feel for them. But you can't help but feel like, oh, yes, my goodness, everyone thinks right now that I am the worst parent in the world.
Well, so, everybody's eyes are on you because it is fascinating to watch one evolve and how parents deal with it.
I know, isn't it? And so much pressure for those parents that are then trying to do the thing that you think everyone thinks is acceptable. So what are the do's, Catherine, of managing a toddler tantrum? So there we are, middle of the supermarket, eyes on you. What would you recommend we do?
Well, the very first thing is I would realize, although we are not at fault for a tantrum whatsoever, we do influence how long or how intense a tantrum is, or at least let's say we can influence. So I like to think of tantrums as like a dance, and there's two of you participating in this dance, and how the dance looks is partly related to your input into it. So it's really that's really good news because it means you can influence the tantrum and make it a shorter or less intense one. Not all the time, but some of the time. So the first thing is to try to take that moment to calm yourself down. We're human. Our nervous system gets revved up just like our kids does. And we need to find ways to de-escalate so we bring some calm to the tantrum. So I really encourage parents to take a moment. If there's no emergency, everybody's safe, take a moment and figure out what works best for you to calm down, because you are going to get revved up. You're going to have that fight or flight response just like your kid. And we need to learn how to bring it down. So that might be deep breathing. It might be a mantra, but create a space between your child's behavior and your reaction to it.
That would be
the first thing.
Imagine if we get stressed, then they get more stressed, right? And we end up in this like crazy cycle of everyone getting worse.
Exactly. Because I'm sure, you know, everybody's heard of what a baby's brain being under, or a toddler's brain being under construction. Mm-hmm. And so since they can't talk themselves down, we need to bring the calm to it so we can help their nervous system calm down. So that's where, you know, being a little bit more intentional and thinking of ways to calm yourself down and practicing it before you're in a tantrum so that you're good at calming yourself down. And you're not going to be able to do it every time. I mean, we're human, but hopefully most of the time, and hopefully it gets easier. So other do's of a tantrum is you stay close to your child. The days of sending them off to their room and punishment have been shown really not to be helpful. And again, realize that they're normal. And I'd also realize that tantrums have a pattern. They're sort of a combination of anger and sadness. Early on, the anger is going to be the strongest emotion, but then it'll evolve into the sadness or the more whiny stage. It's at that point where you can intervene. If you try and intervene in the more angry phase, it's just going to aggravate your child. But if you wait for that over the peak of the anger, you can then step in ways that help resolve it or calm it down. I use a little acronym with parents to help remember sort of steps to do to help bring down a tantrum. So I use an acronym EASY. And shall I go through that with you now?
Oh, please do. Yeah, I'm taking notes.
So I found when I was a medical student, I was a new mom at that time, and I was so tired and I had this foggy mom brain, and I needed to learn ways to come up with good answers quickly. And I found the same thing was true, the same feeling with tantrum. So I came up with the acronym EASY. And EASY stands for, first of all, E is for evaluate. And that's where we're evaluating our own response and making sure we calm down. The A is for acknowledging feelings. And this is a super important piece in helping a child feel better. So we all want to feel understood when we're upset. And so acknowledging really just means saying something as simple as, you seem really angry, or you're really angry, Jax, grab the truck out of your hand. It's actually been shown that when you do that, the brain actually secretes calming hormones that help you calm down. Mm. And then, although I really like a gentle approach, I do think it's very important we still teach right from wrong. And parents that are taking a gentle approach shouldn't forget the importance of that stage, because your child really needs you to be in control. So the S is about sticking to your boundaries. So you've acknowledged your child's feelings, and now you're going to put the limits. So I get it. You're angry. I understand. But it's not okay to throw your toy. And I'm going to just move you over here to keep everybody safe. So at this point, we've calmed down before we've entered into the problem. We've acknowledged our child's feelings. We've set the limits. And the final thing to help sort of move beyond the tantrum is the Y of EASY, and that's for yes. And that means for finding the thing your child can do. So while you can't throw the truck, let's come on over here and we'll color and draw a truck. You know, just something that helps your child learn, well, I can't do this, I can do that.
Oh, I love that.
So that's
really
the
nice,
easy acronym.
That's really nice and really easy to remember, which is what we need as parents with that tired brain in an emotive environment. So that is an awesome tip. Thank you. So keeping our calm and using that easy acronym when those toddler emotions get a little bit intense. That's fantastic. Definitely something I'm going to be using practically with our little one. And then what about the don'ts, Catherine? Are there any things that we should really try our utmost to not do when tantrums hit?
Sure, there certainly are. I would start with having realistic expectations. So don't expect things that your child actually isn't developmentally ready for. And that's a really common mistake. But other more common things are don't get annoyed, don't give a time out. Don't try and comfort your child too early in the tantrum because that often aggravates them. Mm-hmm. Don't give repeated warnings like if you don't stop, I'm going to blah, 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 blah. Don't bribe your toddler to stop the tantrum. Don't try and teach lessons during a tantrum. Mm-hmm. And don't ask your child why something happened. Young toddlers don't have insight into themselves and they can't answer that question. So there's a lot of things not to do. And unfortunately, a lot of them are knee-jerk reactions just from how we were raised. Mm. But that's where that very first step of sort of calming down and being more intentional will help you not knee-jerk. Mm.
That's really good. Yeah, that's really helpful because like you say, quite often when they do something, your immediate thing, because if an adult did something a little bit out the normal, Yes. You would ask them why they did that and to explain their behavior. Exactly. So we kind of try and do that with our toddlers that are like, I don't know why either. I'm just this little person with these crazy feelings.
Exactly.
So talking about these small people, Catherine, having these wild emotions that they're expressing in their own little way, how can we as their parents help them to manage some of that when they don't really understand it themselves yet?
So you can help kids manage their emotions by modeling good behaviors yourself, by showing kids. I think that's probably one of the most important points that we forget as parents, that the biggest lessons, and I've certainly seen this with my children who are all now adults, is you can see yourself in them. And these aren't things you taught them, that's stuff they picked up. And so behaving well so your kids learn those behaviors, again, it's something to just become more thoughtful about, is how do I handle my anger? How do I treat people in a restaurant when I'm not happy with my meal, and just to pay more attention to our own behavior, because those are powerful and long lasting lessons. But otherwise, also realistic expectations. And, when kids are little, there's so much talk about sitting milestones and walking milestones and speech milestones, but you don't really hear a lot about toddler milestones. Mm-hmm. And I'd encourage parents to take some time and actually read about when do kids learn to share. When do kids learn emotional control? Because studies have shown, and I did a poll in my office, and it showed parents expect it way too early. Most of the emotional control, sharing, they don't happen till you're about 3.5 to 4 years of age.
Wow.
And that's just the beginning of them happening. So I just make sure that you're realistic. Also realistic, you're grocery shopping, it's been 45 minutes, your kid's going to get antsy. Expect it. So being proactive is also helpful. Sorry, you told
That's
me
okay.
not to do that.
They're welcome to join.
Well, it's my daughter and she's pregnant, so she would be good to join.
She's in the right place.
Other things are naming feelings is a very powerful way of helping children to understand their feelings. It's great reading books about feelings, including it in your conversation. A dog is getting all wild. Talk about the dog's feelings. Mm. But basically, kids will learn to deal with their emotions as they mature and get older and develop their speech. But these are the steps you can do to help them on the way.
Mm, that's really interesting. It's one of those things, isn't it, that we can physically see when our child can sit up unaided and they can crawl and they can walk.
Exactly.
But dealing with those emotions and those feelings is a whole different thing, because we don't have a measuring tape in the same way we might do when it comes to them sitting up. So it can be so much more difficult. And you're right, you know, my little boy is 17 months, Catherine, and I very much expect him to be sharing and explaining things to me that is obviously not within his grasp yet. But we are... Yes. We are, I guess, where we are their biggest cheerleaders, aren't we? We really want them to do well and succeed and thrive. We kind of almost put a little bit too much pressure on too early. I'm sure lots of us are guilty of that.
But I think that's a great way to see it, as the cheerleader. So you're not the teacher, because kids do learn by trial and error, but although you're also the teacher, but being their cheerleader on the sidelines is a great way to see our role, especially with toddlers. But also, when I say about having realistic expectations, that doesn't mean you shouldn't teach them about sharing or taking turns, but you just shouldn't expect it and then get angry when it doesn't happen.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. Do it, role model it, but don't necessarily expect it to be kind of replicated imminently. It'll come with time, I guess, and with repeat exposure to those experiences. Catherine, you are so full of wisdom. Now, everyone that comes on the podcast, I ask to finish with three top tips. So I wondered if you could share your three top tips to managing our toddlers as parents, so any parents listening can take these tips home with them.
Well, these are things we've already said that I'm going to repeat, and that is the first one is realistic expectations. And I mean that in very practical terms. So if you're shopping for a long time, involve your, it doesn't mean you can't shop for a long time, but know your kids' limits and don't think, oh, they should be able to do this or that. Mm. If they can't, they can't. Come prepared. Like if you're going to a situation where you're expecting your child to sit still and they won't sit still, come prepared for it. So be realistic in what you're expecting of them. And then involve them so that they're less likely to get bored. The next is, again, and it's, we talked about it, but it's so important, is to be a good example. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean to beat yourself up when you're not, but just to become more conscious of those little lessons, actually they're big lessons, that your kids learn from how you interact with the world on a day-to-day basis. And lastly is, I really encourage you to think of tantrums as normal and healthy and expected. They're going to happen. You don't have to feel like I need to stop the tantrums from happening. They're going to happen. They're natural.
I love that acceptance of, actually, these are inevitable, and I'm going to use these tools and techniques to navigate through them. And also, if I see another mum who is managing her toddler tantrum, I'm going to give her a big smile so she doesn't feel judged or like the paparazzi are all looking at her.
That's so important, isn't it? As to, you know, we've all been there. Doesn't matter what generation, we've all had kids act up in public or act out. I certainly have, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, Catherine, thank you so much for your time and letting me steal away from your busy, busy schedule. For anyone listening who isn't following Dr. Catherine, make sure you check out the episode description for her fantastic podcast and Instagram account with lots and lots of wisdom around managing our little people.
Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure.
Before you head off, I just need to tell you something. 68% of you who listen to my podcast have not hit the subscribe button. So can you do me a favor? If you have ever enjoyed listening, and hit subscribe now. It makes a huge difference and helps me to keep bringing you episodes. The bigger the podcast, the bigger the guests, and the more women we can reach and help. Thank you for subscribing, and I look forward to chatting again soon.